Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, you can get tickets to the live show on tubes.com. Do you want to say what the thing is, Jazz? Is it S-H-O-O-B-S?
Yes,
is it
that's correct.
S.com. So, yeah. Or you can go to our Instagram, Black Girls Living. On Instagram, click on the link, get tickets. Mm-hmm. Once it's gone, guys. There ain't no restock. But we made sure that there's tickets for everybody. So please come and enjoy. It's going to be lit. It's going to be fun.
And we're going to party afterwards.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah. Come and enjoy.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Black Girls Living. You're joined with Vic.
And Jasmine. And
yes, we've got a special, special guest in the building. I told you guys what's going to happen. She's here. Do you want to introduce yourself, lovely?
Oh, gosh. Hi, guys.
Just bring the mic a little bit closer.
A little bit closer. Yeah. Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Mo, a.k.a. Mo Chunks.
Yes, sir.
And I'm in the building with two beautiful ladies today.
So thank you.
One of my favorite people in the world, Vic. And
I really don't feel it today.
Jazz. What? Jazz, you look nice. What are you talking about?
I just feel shit. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. What's wrong?
I'm sorry to be such a downer. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry, sis.
Yeah, it's good. It's fine.
What's
we're
up?
Here.
Do
we're
you
here.
About it?
I don't know. Do you know what it is? Yeah, I just feel like, obviously, you know when people usually, they ask you, oh, how are you and stuff? And it's like, we're inclined to say, oh, I'm fine. But today, I don't feel fine. No, I don't.
No,
I don't know. I just find it really, really difficult these days. I don't know what's going on. I think I just have too much going on, really. But I'll find a way.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Yeah, it's fine. Sorry.
It's okay. Don't need to apologize.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's okay. Like, it's fine. You can't always be happy, chirpy. Mm-hmm.
I know. Yeah, but now I feel like a Debbie Downer.
Nope. No, it's fine. It's fine.
Nope.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Oh gosh. Sorry, I ruined your introduction.
Do you know what?
Sorry.
I always say it's better to let people know how you're feeling rather than someone assuming or thinking it's something they did.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine you walk in now and, you know, your energy's off the whole time. And Vic's feeling like, was it something I said? Was it something I did?
Yeah.
Whereas now that you've been open, we can actually be empathetic towards you and support you through whatever you're going through.
It's actually true.
It's why you should subscribe to Mo on YouTube.com. The Mo Chunk Show.
Yeah, so.
Realness. Yeah,
I'm good. I'll be all right. Ready? Love that picture. Sorry.
That's promo for the TDA. Is it TDA?
Yeah, the day after.
The TDA is actually something on Loki, which is in the Marvel Universe. Speaking of Marvel Universe, I've watched one of the best shows. Well, not one of the best shows, but a really, really good show called Moon Knight.
Ooh.
Have you seen it?
Yes. I still need to see the finale.
What do you think of episode 5, right?
What, the weird one? Where they went to, I don't want to give too many like spoilers. Mm.
But what do you think about it in, as a whole?
It's very thought provoking.
Yeah, right. So
I would say.
Have you seen WandaVision?
Yes, I love that one as well.
What do you think is better?
Wanda.
So good.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wanda.
Literally one of my favorite TV shows ever.
Yeah.
Okay. We're here today. We got Mo on. We said before we're gonna talk about natural hair, all things natural hair. We'll get on to Mo's journey, but the reason why we got Mo on is because there was a viral tweet a few weeks ago by Azraya, and she was talking about how she doesn't like her natural hair and how she's done everything she can to love it, but she's just finding it hard. But then she found a way to kind of, you know, grow with it by getting locks. And then it really, really shifted a whole conversation of people being like, actually, I don't like it too. Does it make me anti-black? Does it not make me anti-black? So do people with wigs, people who always wear wigs and say it's protective style, is it really a protective style? Because we never see your hair.
Mm.
But then other people raise the question of, okay, but your hair is always in braids. That's a protective style. So does that make you more of a natural person?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then there were some people who were saying, actually, I fucking hate my natural hair. And that bitch studies make me feel like a bad bitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's all sorts of conversations. But I wanted you on because I remember having you either on a Twitter space or you made a thread and you said something like, you went 12 months with your natural hair because you really wanted to challenge yourself.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, I love that. Cause then, and then I went onto your Instagram. I sound like a stalker. and I really noticed that Mo, every single look Mo does is with her natural hair, like your wedding. Mm-hmm. And I think I remember I watched, because I watched your wedding journey, and I think I remember you saying it was important to have your natural hair out as a bride as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'd just love you to talk about your journey and why you wanted to make that 12-month commitment.
Right. I think randomly, I realized that I don't rock my natural hair as much. Mm. This was after university and, you know, one of the pivotal moments in my life, which was graduation. I look back now with a bit of regret because I didn't think my natural hair was good enough. Mm. I remember running around for like a day or two trying to get the right weave, trying to get it bleached because I went for the blonde look. You know, the
wow, bleached
girl.
Blonde from the... For graduation.
You know the black girl birthday.
Like, yes, Barbie. Wow. You even dyed your bleave out. Your breath.
Wow. No, it was a frontal. Oh. It was a frontal.
Oh, you dyed a frontal. Okay,
I did a frontal. No. Wow. It wasn't the leave. Oh my gosh. No.
So you didn't manage yourself with 613. Is that what they call it?
No. Back then it was the full. Do you remember when frontal started? And everybody was obsessed.
But I thought the girls would get the blondes.
I don't think 613 was like what, big okay, back then.
No, I got it bleached the night before and everything, and got it like made like frantically.
What's even killing me is graduation where you wear hats.
Yes, no.
To be fair, I got new bundles. I remember getting a 22-inch for my graduation.
Right.
Every time I see those pictures, Vic's hair is laid. I'm not going to lie.
It's a big moment. Yeah, and you want to look at those pictures like, oh, wow, like I looked very like presentable. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing for me. I realized that at the time, presentable for me meant moving away from everything I am naturally. Mm. So that's from the glam makeup to the straighter hair. Or like the looser curl patterns or whatever it may be, or weave. So I really had to like look inward and be like, okay, Mo, you don't rock your natural hair as much as, you know, you say you love it. Okay. In a sense of I was the kind of natural. So I was natural at that time for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I was the kind of natural that would just braid my hair down every month or so. Mm-hmm. You know, protective style, take it out, wash it, braid it again. So I really had to challenge myself and my views on how beautiful I find myself in my most natural state. Mm. And it's very important to make that distinction because this is not me saying I don't ever wear weave anymore. I don't ever wear extensions or I don't think it's okay to find yourself beautiful that way. But I think it is a problem, or I found it a problem for myself when I didn't find my most natural state as beautiful as the other side.
Okay.
So I had to kind of strip it away. And I guess I'm a bit of a dramatic person. So my method was a bit literally just like cold turkey. I literally packed up all my weave. I remember like telling my sisters, although they were like ignoring me, I'm putting everything away. And I literally put it on the top of the wardrobe at the time when I was still living with my parents. And I just never looked back.
Wow.
And that was when I followed a lot of like YouTube channels, how to style natural hair for like events, for work, school, whatever it may be. So little by little, I started trying those hairstyles and became more comfortable in my own skin. Mm. Yeah.
But real, do you find natural hair? Because a lot of people say, a lot of people say, people that say natural hair is harder to look after. They're, anti-black.
Yeah.
They're lying. Mm. honestly, I've seen people say, nah, you're lying. You're just exaggerating, blah, blah, blah. So how have you found like actually maintaining it? Do you find it more difficult? Real.
I would say I'm so used to it now that it's not really a comparison anymore for me. And I think I've also gotten to a stage now where I've created methods that work better for me, that make my hair manageable, so to speak. So I don't even think of how like tedious it may be. So for example, I wash my hair every week now. Mm-hmm. And that's something that
Wow.
Unheard of. Mm. Usually in the natural hair community, you know, when other big natural hair YouTubers came out, they said, you know, you can wash your hair every 2 to 3 weeks. There's even, if you want to grow your hair, don't wash it. Mm. Wash it every 3 to 4 months or 6 months or what. Just so many different like myths. Yeah. And trust me, I've tried that stage. I've literally done the whole, I didn't wash my hair for a month and da-da-da-da-da. Mm. But I actually find my hair more manageable when I wash it every week because, you know, I noticed before whenever I want to style my hair, it's always the most easiest when it's wet.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to incorporate that because I like to have like a different look every week or and then go throughout the week with that. And the fact that I also choose a style that I don't really have to do much to throughout the week, except like, you know, throw on a bonnet at night, in the morning, comb the edges. So those are little methods that I use. You're going to find natural hair unmanageable, so to speak, if you're constantly trying to manipulate it into something it's not.
Okay, there we go.
I think that's where people are finding it a bit hard. Mm. And I understand you might want a sleeker look. You know, everyone has their own preferences. Mm. I think a bigger level or higher level in terms of my natural hair journey was accepting my hair for what it is. I think when you're a new natural, you go on YouTube, you know, you see the 3A girls.
That be lying at their free scene.
Yeah, you see the 3A girls and you want to make your hair look exactly how theirs looks. You want to try the hairstyles that, you know, suit their curl pattern a bit better. And when yours turns out a bit more full or a bit more afro-y, you're disappointed.
Yeah.
You know? So I think I've also gotten to a stage now where I just accept my hair for what it is. Like, just let it be.
Mm.
Let it be what it wants to be. So there's that acceptance. So in a sense, I don't manipulate it that much. So it's very manageable for me.
And for those that can't see us, we're on YouTube. This episode will be on YouTube. But can you just describe what your hair texture is like and everything like that?
There's a lyric, something tougher than Nigeria.
Oh, little hair. Why when I was in school, everybody be touching my... That was the one time I allowed people to touch my hair. And everybody be like, yeah. And me too, I'd be like this, touching my hair. What an idiot. What an absolute idiot.
But I don't know why he had such a bar. It was very tough.
I guess there's connotations that, you know, our hair is really like hard to manage, the tighter the curl patterns are. But again, even with that, like I have 4C hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like the smallest of the coils. Mm. Even when you wash it with water, do you really see the definition? Yeah, sometimes you see the definition, but it's not like a defined curl pattern is what I'm trying to say. And I guess with that lyric, it's the connotation of like the tighter, the tougher it is to deal with. But when I wet it and use, you know, my products and whatever it may be, I actually don't find it, you know, as tough as it's made out to be. Like I used to break combs when I was younger.
Wow.
And that's because my mom just didn't know you know, wet the hair first rather than trying to comb it. Like, you know, from the root as well.
From the root.
Wow.
Whereas now I know it's from tip to root, you know, getting all those knots out. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've lost train of the question.
No, I was just asking if your texture. My curl,
I would say 4C, although some people say that scale doesn't really exist.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think of hair typing?
I mean, I think it works, but then some people argue that it's not necessary in terms of everyone's hair is unique, regardless of the curl pattern.
Yeah.
But if I was to fit somewhere, I would say 4C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I realized about myself? It's not that, because I clocked it. I was like, it's not that I'm a lazy natural.
Yeah.
I'm just lazy. So, Jazz said the other day, when we were talking about this briefly, Jazz was like, I'm trying to find ways to manage my natural hair, but I don't want to put gel in it. I remember you saying that. I don't want to put gel all the time. And I was like, so I put gel in my hair. Then every time I was going out, I was putting gel.
Right.
But then when I'd come home, I'd have to wash my hair. And that was tiring me out. Because I was like, oh my God, I'm really going to have to wash my hair. But even if I was relaxed, I'd still have to do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking, I'm sure white girls, when they put gel in their hair, they have to wash their hair. So I'm just lazy then. So I think the process is I'm just lazy. And yeah, I'm just lazy.
Mm. I mean, it's good to be honest with yourself.
Yeah. I think that, so literally, I was just like, so I was looking at my calendar and I was like, okay, I'm going out, what else am I doing with my hair? I'm still trying to figure out what. So basically, after that conversation online, before this anyways, I like to have my hair out in the summer, like, you know, take a break and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I saw that conversation online, I was like, actually, why don't I rock my hair to events? or rock my hair when I go out on date nights or just stuff like that. Like, why do I always have to, even gel sometimes, I'm like, why do I have to slick it back? Or why do I have to, why can't I have it out like this? And then it really made me think. So I was like, for 2 months at least, let me figure something else. But I can't lie to you guys, I've already booked to have braids done. But then I'm like, is that bad? Is that not a protective style? It's like, it's so, I feel so confused. But I know in my hearts of hearts, I don't give a shit what anyone thinks. I know I'm going to do me. But I'm getting all back braids next week because I know, I think I've realised that it's not that I'm a lazy natural, I'm just lazy.
Also remember that, you know, in terms of our history, Afrocentric hair, you know, has always been like molded as well. So like, if you look at pictures from back in the day, there's like really elaborate like braid and twist style. So don't feel bad in terms of the protective, because I know a lot of people, like, because they're trying, they're on that journey of like discovery, like they're like, oh, am I betraying myself because I opted for this style this time around? But it's not necessarily, it's really more of a mindset thing. Like, how do you see yourself away from that? I think is the biggest thing. So for example, a conversation that's, you know, booming a lot right now, you know, like the whole feminist like movement, and a lot of people say things like, oh, feminists are getting married, they're all frauds. And it's like, okay, it's like, but you can hate a system and still, I don't know how to describe this. So, for example, what I'm trying to say is you can love your hair and still try other hairstyles.
Okay, yeah.
And and similarly, just because you believe in equality doesn't mean you can't enter into an institution that historically has been unequal. So long as your union is equal. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
So it's like people think, okay, once you're a naturalista, you can never rock a wig or a weave, or you can never go back to like any other hairstyles. For me, the biggest thing is the mindset.
But do you think, like, when you become like a naturalista sort of person, do you think it almost becomes such a brand that when you do wear a wig, people are like, ah, portrayal. But then it's like, hon, you wear wigs every day. But but it, not what I'm trying to say. It's like, it becomes like a brand. Like, it becomes like, you're not even like, I don't know how to say it. You're like,
I think you're
people kind of put you above, like, you. I really wish I could find the words, but is this kind of where we see people who only rock natural hair, like, they're just regular people like us. But I think people put them on a pedestal. I don't know if you found this.
I hear you in terms of you might end up feeling boxed. But I think, again, it's all about your raps and the things that you, the conversations you have. I think I'm personally quite vocal on the fact that I'll still rock a weave. I'll still rock a wig. Even in my natural hair journey, like, I've started wearing like natural hair extensions and, you know, like Afro hair wigs and stuff like that. So it's really about how you approach it. If you're someone that everyone knows, you're like, never, you know, da 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 da. However, if you're someone that's quite nuanced and balanced and within the conversations.
Yeah. But what made you want to go for, so do you only go for like kind of like, wigs or extensions that kind of mimics your natural hair?
Not always. I still have my curly wigs and my straight wigs. I just don't reach for them as much. I think I, you know, got into a stage now where I actually prefer an Afrocentric look over you know, the sleeker, straighter, and I say that because obviously some of the language around you know, hair, you really have to be careful.
Yeah. What do you think about people who say, oh, I don't feel like a bad bitch with my natural
hair? That one is something. And obviously I have a side to me where I do like content creation. So like, I post like, you know, pictures, fashion posts on like Instagram and YouTube, you know, not as much, but mainly on Instagram. And I definitely had to challenge myself with that as well. In terms of a lot of the baddies that you see on social media, or those that people consider baddies, they it's more of an artificial look, so to speak. But me, myself, I believe you can be a baddie with whatever texture of hair you want to, you want to rock. There is, you know, that mindset of, again, it's all about like, what people consider to be presentable and what people consider to be beautiful and quote unquote feminine as well, and sexy, is what a lot of people battle with. But, you know, hopefully you guys, you know, check out my Instagram. If you check us out, you can see that you can be a baddie with the Afrocentric looks. Yeah.
And did you struggle with anything? Like when you went natural, whether it be like what styles to go with, like when it's going to work, or did you struggle with like people's perceptions, maybe family?
I think there was one incident when I was a bit younger, even before the whole going a year without weave. So there was an incident where I straightened my hair out and went to church. And I have like bra strap length hair when it's like straightened out. And everybody was like, wow, like this is that beautiful. Like, oh, so like being natural is actually such a good thing. Da, 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 da. And I felt gassed. I was like, wow, like, you know, I'm looking my natural and everyone loves it. The next Sunday, I didn't have as much time to straighten it. So I just left it in its the most natural state. You know, what people like to refer to as shrinkage. I really hate that word. Because, okay, so when people say shrinkage, right, it's almost like they're saying your hair is reverting back to something that it wasn't before. Whereas for me, I say it's my hair in its most natural state because that's where it starts from. It just reverts when you put the water on it. But shrinkage suggests that its default is when it's stretched out and when it's straightened. So I personally don't like the word shrinkage. But yeah, that could be me just being extra political. But like the next Sunday, I had my hair in its most natural state. And I came into church and the reaction wasn't the same. It was like, oh, what happened to your hair?
Nah, leave
did
it.
Did you cut it?
Even at church? It's not safe on these.
You know, that, did you cut it? You know, I was just like.
And I take it this is a black church.
Yes. And it was like. So it's, they didn't consider it as beautiful as when it was straightened and you could see the length and did it. And this whole thing about obsession with length in the natural hair community, I still struggle with that as well.
I think it still is very much prevalent.
Yeah.
I see so many posts of, oh, I don't know, or let me see what's under that wig. And it's like the girls are like having to show that, oh, I have hair. And it's like...
The one that you don't rock all, but it's you like, have it. No shade.
That was shady.
No, but I think I struggle with the length thing.
Yeah.
Because I look at people, like when I go on Pinterest, I think that's the worst place to find... I could be wrong. I feel like at the moment, I've been looking at Pinterest for inspo. And everybody's got long hair. And I'm like, how do I... Like, I think I just realised my hair's just not going to grow. My hair is like... been like... But to be fair, I cut my hair a lot. Like, when I go to hairdressers, they're like, oh, you need a trim. But I'm like, just cut chunks of it. I don't mind.
Wow.
But I probably don't mind because I'm always wearing wigs or I wear braids. So that's probably why I don't mind about the length. I just don't think my hair is going to be... Like, you know, you say brush.
Yeah.
I don't think my hair will ever grow that long.
Yeah.
And maybe I just have to just deal with it. Like, I think I just have to get over it.
I think the biggest thing with hair length is genetics. And that's something that a lot of people don't appreciate enough. So like, you know, in the natural hair community, there's all these things about how to grow your hair. And
rice something, water.
Yeah, some things do... It's a very nuanced one, or there's like different sides to it in a sense of, so whenever like I advise people about natural hair on my channel and I mention hair length, I always number one, always say it's about genetics, but first of all, but then second of all, you can either like maximize or minimize the results you see with your routine. So there's people who maybe they have moms with longer hair and maybe they do have the genes to grow hair to a certain length, but because of bad practices, they don't get to actualize that. And at the same time, there can be someone who, you know, genetically might, they might not be able to grow as long hair, but because they have a great routine, they're able to maintain the length they have really well. So there's like different sides to it, but it's not a thing where, we have to feel bad because we can't ascertain a certain length or like our hair doesn't go beyond. I do think naturally, genetically, my hair reaches like bra strap and that's it for me, because even when I was growing up, that's where I saw my mom's hair get to and she was relaxed. So it's not a natural versus relaxed thing. It's just most of the time it's genetics.
I don't know if you ever felt this way, but I used to feel when I used to have natural hair, like I had a tiny weenie afro. What do you call it?
TWA.
And like people would make comments like, I remember when it would just rock it, right?
Yeah.
Like, did you brush your hair? Have you styled your hair?
Yeah, and then
I think that I have that insecurity where when I have my natural hair, people are looking at me like, this girl doesn't know how to do her hair. I don't know if you've ever felt that way.
And it's that whole thing about if it's done
or
not, isn't it? Yeah, that was definitely something that I had to battle with. The looks, like, you haven't made an effort, you haven't tried, you know, to look as presentable. And it's, again, what society has told us is the standard of presentability or professionalism or femininity or being sexy. Recently on my show, I've been filming for season 12 of the show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for like three of the episodes, I challenged myself to leave my hair as a TWA. Mm-hmm. And it turned out really great, you know, but I can imagine someone making a comment to me on a day-to-day basis and saying to me, why didn't you do your hair? I can imagine that crushing my spirit, even with all the work I've done to evolve my hair. So I can only imagine if someone hasn't even began to scratch the surface of the work and they said, oh, let me try. Mm-hmm. And then someone makes a comment like that. I can imagine that really like shutting down their confidence completely, which is where like I think we ourselves need to like, we shouldn't have to, but it's the world that we're in that we have to grow resilience in some really challenging areas, especially when it comes to black hair and the way we present ourselves, you know, to others.
No, definitely.
Yeah. That's a good point. Like, where do you think, like, there's obviously there's still a lot of room for growth, but like, what do you think is holding us back from, I guess we could talk about this for hours and hours, but what is holding us back from truly embracing our natural selves?
I think it's just comparison. It's number one, what society has fed us for like, you guys got to remember, this is hundreds of years of like societal conditioning. Like it's not going to be undone in like 5 years or however long the natural hair movement has been. So it's years and years of societal conditioning in a sense of even when you do the work, there's always going to be someone that will have an opinion, that will have comments to make about, you know, your journey or what you're doing. So I think it's the external. What's going on a macrocosmic scale. That's a very like English GCSE literature word. It's what's going on a macrocosmic scale. So the outside, the external, hundreds and hundreds of years of societal conditioning that, and then it's also the internal within ourselves as a community, how we still see ourselves. Like, you know, I was thinking about this the other day that, you know, isn't it wild that in my prayer points for my husband, I had to write a man that appreciates natural hair.
Wow.
And like, and loves me rocking it, you know, because I got to that stage where I wanted to rock it and have that Afrocentric look. And that's not to say that, I don't know what the numbers are. That's not to say that the majority of men in our communities don't like women. That's not to make that kind of assumption. But I guess there was that nervousness from what society tells us is beautiful. I kind of wondered, you know, or I felt the need to pray that, you know,
make that point,
you know, on my list that, you know, he would be like an Afrocentric loving person himself. And thank God I got the answer to that prayer.
Got
but,
it.
But I did, I was saying to myself, it's wild that has to be.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I do see.
It definitely happens.
Yeah.
I've definitely been with someone that is like, when I would be wearing my natural hair, they're like, oh, so like, when are you going to get your hair done? It's like.
Yeah. Get your hair done. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would say.
We're finished, I think, as a society.
Boy, in our community. But I would say today I see, I don't know whether it's just my friends or the people I follow on socials. I do see more black men loving their hair, especially with the whole cane rows are coming back now.
I do love that
locks
for black
are
men.
Coming back.
I
feel
like
they're
locks.
A bit more confident with where we're at right now. I don't know whether, again, it could just be, you know, when you have your timeline, you see a limited amount of people. But from what I see, I see the black men embracing their natural hair, and I see them embracing the natural hair of women around them as well. Sometimes more than us. Sorry.
No, but I even saw a conversation. Someone said,
"Yeah,
all black men do is cut their hair. They're even anti-black too." I said, "Yeah, we're finished." Uh-huh. I said, "This conversation is going way too deep."
Yeah.
No, because they're saying that because they don't even love their natural hair.
Yeah,
like they don't even want to go. You know, during lockdown, because they were eager to cut it. But I was like, "Is that more of a thing of them being a man?"
Yeah, or what society says men are meant to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, because even like I'm sure even like white men. It's not the norm.
They
to
also
grow out
rushed.
Your hair. Do you get what I mean?
But
they were even cutting it at home. They just wanted to be bold at some point.
That's, It's even that sponge that they use. Why are you using the sponge? Why can't you just
Curly? Well, it's texturism. It's basically what we see to be prettier or
why are you manipulating it?
More presentable. Yeah. Mm. So I think black men and women struggle with similar things when it comes to curl pattern, acceptance of our hair, and like rocking the hair as well.
Sorry to cut you, but even like if you see a guy with no shape up, you just look at him and you think, raggedy ass bitch. Like you think like you didn't really take time today. Like we do see, like you see all the TikToks, you see all the tweets, go, oh, when he gets a shape up. So it's like, what did he look like before? Like, do you know what I mean? I could be wrong. Do you guys see that? Like,
I do see us on our side as well, as in black women as well, sometimes. And I don't know, perhaps it attempts to control the presentability of black men as well. So there's the whole haircut thing. But then there's also, on our side as well, there's also the ones that don't like black men growing their hair out as well.
Which I'm
really against. Like, just let black men grow their hair in peace. Like, let them, you know, let them go on that journey where they explore and, you know, look somewhat like, you know, our ancestors, where the men did used to like rock really nice braids and locks and it's definitely on both sides thing. There's so much to unlearn and relearn and, you know, accept about ourselves.
Do you feel like you see people learning to love their hair, or just seeing people rock their hair? Like, maybe it's your friends, families, you see them do it like once in a while. Do you see that movement growing, or do you think that people are kind of like, F it, wig life?
I feel like relaxers are coming back, you know.
I've seen texture release. I wanted to talk about this texture release, right? So I was like, should I get it? Should I not? But then again, I'm lazy, so probably not. But it's more of a thing of, I've seen people doing texture release, but I've also seen people having to do disclaimers when they do texture release. Like releases. Influencers, like I've seen a few where they're like, I got texture release, does not mean I'm anti-black. Also, like, doing the disclaimer, I'm like, but, and I get why they're doing disclaimers, because some people are out there being like, you got a texture release or you got a relaxer. This means that you're a bad person. And when we really think about it, it's your own individual journey. And I think a lot of the times with influencers, I think people put them on a, people act like they're role models. People act like they're celebs. And I get that they are the new celebs, but also you need to be an individual as a consumer. You need to be your own person.
I think generally the policing of black hair needs to stop, in terms of whatever decision people want to make. Yes, we can encourage one another to love ourselves, but ultimately the decision lies within the person themselves. Like I said, I grew up with my mom, you know, relaxing her hair and going over roller sets or whatever it may be. But yeah, we are seeing a movement back to relaxers. And again, it's this whole idea of manageability. People want a seamless hair routine, or what they consider to be a more seamless hair routine. So I understand it. If you've tried and it's not working for you, a phrase that I don't really like is, your natural hair is not for everyone. You know, like, in terms of, it's the hair that God has given you.
Yeah.
So how can it not be for you? I get it in terms of, it might not suit your routine or the lifestyle that you want to, that you want to have. Not everybody wants to wash their hair weekly. Not everybody wants to do different styles. Some people, like you said, want to be a lazy natural or a lazy relaxed girl, or, you know, a lazy protective style girl. So ultimately, I think the decision lies within whoever wants to make that transition or whatever it may be. But in terms of policing people and influencers, I don't think it's fair. I think people change, their ideologies change in terms of what they believe in. You never know. Tomorrow, I might even say, do you know what? I might even say, look, I'm a relaxed girl. Chances of that happening right now in my mindset, very slim to none. But you never know. You never put someone on a pedestal to the point where they can't fall.
I wanted to ask you that, actually. Like, has there ever been a moment? Okay, you see, like, how our hair is, like, very much a piece of us, and our hair pays for what we're going through as well. Like, if we're going through a rough time, or, you know, people say if we've gone through a breakup, a lot of women just want to cut their hair, or they bleach it or colour it or do something drastic. Have you ever been at that point where you're like, I want to do something wild with my hair? Or, like, you've probably thought twice because you thought, oh, like, I'm not to say I'm a role model, but you also have, you're associated with natural hair. When we wanted to have this conversation, you're the person that we thought of. Do you get what I mean?
I wanted to cut my hair at one point. like to get it released. You know, like Kika AJ? She has like a short. Maybe not necessarily the curly.
The influencer, sorry, hasn't
Yes, it? Yes. She's got like a short what do you call these waves?
Like finger waves.
She got finger waves? Yeah, but gorgeous. I wanted like a short afro. Like this lady here. Is that Leah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted like a that kind of look. I just wanted to try it just to see what it looked like. But I think my mom kind of talked me out of it based on these ideas of like
femininity. My mom does that to me as well,
how long will it take to grow it back?
Yep.
Oh my
God. My mom is exactly
the
same.
Like to length in our community and there's this nervousness.
But hair grows back.
It does, but we think, like it's so magical. Mm. Like if your hair's grown and it was a fluke and you may never get it back.
Mm.
So
she
talked me out of it. But
it's weird because we know that the hair grows back, but when our parents says it, it's like, okay, let me relax. Let me chill.
And your parents have a lot of influence on you, like believe it or not, and how you feel about yourself. Like I was relaxed until I was like 15, because it was something my mom routinely did for us every 6 months. Until I said, look, it wasn't even.
You're also 6 months. Mom was like every month.
Really?
My hair was
every month. No.
And do you know what's so funny about me getting relaxed hair? I was always wearing braids.
Wow. So it was
very pointless.
Wow.
It was very, very pointless. Very pointless. That's what, again, I'm natural out of. I'm just natural because I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm not even natural on a black power thing. Yeah. It's more of it's kind of the natural hair that comes out of my head. And it just makes the whole. I can still get braids. When I get braids done, it's still the same process as when I have it. In fact, it's even better.
Sorry, every month is still
fried. My hair was fried. And she wasn't doing the roots because when I got to uni.
Hold on.
Yes.
What?
The whole head top. The whole head top. And when I got to uni, that's when I realized that people only do
the roots. The regrowth.
My mom did everything.
My mom used to do everything. Everything. And the scalp as well.
Yeah. And do you know what she even used to do? She used to cook me in there.
Cook.
You know what you used to say? Mom, it's burning. It's dead there. Yeah,
that was why I gave up on relaxers. I'm not gonna lie, because my hair was tough.
That's what I said about
It would take like an hour for it to. How do you say it in? I was about to say woman, so it to say to called Gino.
Okay,
what's
hot.
That like? So it's ready. Like you put something in the oven or something. So like my mom used to leave it there for like an hour.
I can't believe she was cooking it.
Slow cooking.
She was actually cooking your hair.
There was one time I ran out of the bathroom.
Oh my day.
I was naked. My dad ran out of the room, like, what's going on? I was like, Dad, I can't do it anymore. Like it was hurting so much. And that was when I said, look. And my dad as well, because obviously when the dad speaks, you know, my dad enforced it. I was like, look, Kenny. That's my mom's name. Yeah. She's a twin. Kenny, from Wesile. Like, you just
leave her alone.
Leave her alone. Like, it's enough. Mm. So that was when I stopped relaxing. And then the whole ideologies around realizing what society has told us about our hair not being beautiful. That's when the political side came out. Mm. But it was literally just pain that made me stop relaxing my hair.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What made you stop, Jazz?
To be honest, I've kind of gone back and forth with my hair. Like, I do so, like, every now and then, like, I'll grow it out for, like, 2 years. Then I'll relax it for maybe a couple of years. And then I'll grow it out for 2 years. And then, like, the last thing I did, I got a curly perm. And now I'm transitioning again to natural. So it's like, I don't know what I want to do with my hair. Like, even now that it's growing out or whatever. Like, because I got a curly perm because... I like the look of the curls. I'm not gonna lie, I like the look of the curls.
Okay, it's good to be honest,
I wanted a hairstyle where I could refresh it easily. Mm-hmm. And I know you can do that with natural hair, but I found like when I was trying to do wash and goes, for example, and this might be the same thing that you were talking about, like maybe I'm expecting it to look like these YouTubers, but I'm doing wash and go and the product is building up in my hair and it's flaky. So now I'm like, so now I have to wash my hair again.
Yeah.
And it took me how many hours to do it and do the wash and go. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I can't. Plus I have a scalp condition, so I need to wash my hair regularly. At least weekly, but ideally I should be washing my hair every 3 to 4 days. And I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I just feel like with my lifestyle, I cannot physically wash my hair every 3 to 4 days. Like, it just doesn't fit into my lifestyle. Right now I'm at a point where I'm just vibing. And I don't know what the next step is going to be with my hair. And I have gotten to that point where I'm like, I just want to cut it all off and just have it as low maintenance as possible. But then having conversations with family and like no one is like, Jasmine, do it. So I'm like,
Oh.
But it's one of those things where when you do it, they're going to be like, oh, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
Because when I went natural, my mom was like, my mom's mad. When I went natural, she was like, Abadjo, you should have done this from the beginning.
Yeah.
I was like, is this woman mad? She was like, and it suits you so well. She was like, when you were small, I was telling you to do jory curl.
Yeah, jory curl.
Because I got really, really tight curls. I actually think I have defined curls. Mm. They're just really, really tight.
Mm.
So my mom was like, I love this. She was like, even the other day, I went downstairs, my hair was like this. And my dad always says to me, when I have my hair, my natural hair, he's like, you need to relax. When are you relaxing it? And I was telling him, next month. Mm-hmm. I've been saying this for about 10 years now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My mom was saying, oh, they were just talking about the way I look. And I was like, what's wrong? Do you want me to do my hair? She's like, no, I love your hair the way it is. She said, you look like an African woman.
Mm.
She's like, you know, like, I love it.
Yeah.
My mom looked, she's like, I want to go natural too.
Yeah.
But I'm lazy. My mom are the same. My mom doesn't really have her natural hair out. My mom's relaxed, but she doesn't have her hair out. She just does hairstyle to hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
So realistically, my mom should be relaxed.
Mm.
But I think the ideology is just too ingrained in her. Like, she wants to, I can tell my mom wants to do it. We have conversations, she wants to do it. But again, my dad.
Yeah.
Mm. My dad would be talking like anyhow, yeah. like a parrot.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have hair. My dad used to pay for my dad's issue with hair is maybe I need to really talk with him.
Mm.
My dad used to pay for my hair. My dad doesn't pay for anything for me but hair until I got to about maybe 21.
Yeah.
Like he would be like, do you want money to get your hair done? It would anger him.
Yeah.
Like he would be like, do you want to do your hair? I'll pay for it. If you don't have money, I'll pay for it.
Yeah. There are some members of our community that really think like that. And of course, like, there's the whole, you want to be desirable.
Yeah.
So if you're getting that and it's like, oh, so how do the rest kind of, there's that fear, you know, like, although like I said, a lot of us have evolved, but our parents, that generation, you know, the uncles that, you know, made comments about what presentability kind of looks like, that definitely has a toll on you.
Mm.
Yeah. But I have a theory, you know.
Go.
I have a theory about our hair in a sense of, I don't think we were meant to be, I believe that we were meant to do our hair in community.
Okay.
Even now, like I said, I've been in the natural hair game, Afro hair game for a while now. And there's some places I can't really reach. I can't really see like how it's looking. But when somebody else does it for me, immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
And that always like suggests to me, was Afro hair meant to be done in community?
Mm.
In a sense of you, sit down.
And that's how
I'll
it's
do
done.
Your
yeah,
hair for
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Mm. And me too. I'll now sit down. You do my hair for me.
Mm.
Would it not be as strenuous or unmanageable as we consider it sometimes?
Mm.
If it was done more in community, I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, I definitely think
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Also, so I saw a TikTok by Rita Balogun, and she said,
she's so funny.
Yeah, she's so funny. So funny. But she said, with natural hair, we're so focused on, oh, like, I need to protect it, protect. And I'm, again, maybe I should speak from my perspective because I'm lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But we're so much protect that we may not want to dye it. We may not want to color it. We may not want to texturize it, relax it. We may not want to do anything to it.
Mm-hmm.
We may not even want to cut it. We're so much protect.
Don't even wear it out.
Yeah, we don't even wear it. And some people, I'm doing protect.
Yeah.
Since you don't wear it out.
Yeah.
That was why I got the curly perm. Because I'm growing up my hair. But I'm never wearing it out.
Yeah.
I'm still wearing the wigs. I'm wearing the braids. So it's like, what am I protecting it for?
Yeah.
To what end?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Dye your hair today.
Yeah. It's just hair.
Mm.
It's actually just hair.
And also, maybe I need to stop calling my wigs protective style. This is my hair. Like, when I'm wearing wigs, that's the hairstyle of the month.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also, I wanted to ask. Why don't we... I could be very wrong, and please correct me. Why is it when a girl wears wigs... Like that's her style. It's not protective style. Let's be honest. That's her style. That's her look, right?
Mm-hmm.
She wears wigs. She's a wig babe.
Yeah.
People look at her like, oh, wow, she's not really wearing her natural hair. She never wears it. Right. Never embraces her natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know the ones where it's like, because I have a few friends where it's like, I don't want people to catch me on a day off with my natural hair out.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's
that they literally hide. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but then if someone does that with replace that with braids, why is that seen a bit more? Less anti-black, if that makes sense.
Mm.
If you go from braids to braids to braids and your natural hair is never out, why is that seen more quote-unquote? Maybe it's because not traditionally, but from centuries ago.
Braids are
exactly. Yeah. So that's probably why. Yeah.
You answered your own question. Well, it's the historical, I think, connotations attached to braids. Mm. Yeah, that's more us, more Afrocentric, if that makes sense. But then a lot of people will argue that weave isn't really European because, you know, you know, people say things like, oh, this isn't white hair, this is more Brazilian hair, or what else do we wear? Mongolian.
Do you remember when the hairstyles were Mongolian, Indian?
That must be a big deal.
Peruvian.
That was my go-to. Don't miss about Peruvian. Nobody was on it. Everyone was doing Brazilian. Braz. My mom calls it Braz.
Braz.
Do you know my mom? Yeah, she was on these things before all of us. I remember we went to Nigeria when I was about 18. So this was 10 years ago. My mom got a frontal.
Right.
And she called it. She said, this one, they call him Michael Jackson hair.
I'm done.
I remember looking at the thing like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Next year, everybody was on frontals.
Mm.
Were you ever on frontals? So you was on frontals when you closure?
Yeah, frontals. But then I never really learned how to do it myself.
Okay.
So whenever I had a frontal, someone did it for me. Okay. And my little sister Sophie, she's a hairdresser.
Oh, amazing.
So she used to do it for there's three girls in my family. Well, four, including my mom. So she used to do it for us.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick. Mm. Can I ask you about your wedding? Congratulations,
buddy.
How was it finding like a bridal hairstylist?
Okay.
For Afro hair, I guess.
I would say the pool is a lot smaller.
Mm.
It's all expensive. You know? In case you want to get married and you're looking for hair, it's all I was like, wow. Like all these hairstyles that you're seeing that you know, let's respect people's crafts. It all takes time and do. But sometimes on the outside looking in, you think something is simple and you're like, wow, it really costs that. This is what brides are paying. I was going to say playing. Are paying for these things. But then I ended up opting for my sister.
Okay.
And I did pay her, but not as much as she would have.
What kind of quotes were you getting? If you don't mind sharing.
I think the minimum I saw was $250.
Okay.
For a bridal look. Mm. And that's not them touching it up throughout the day.
Oh.
That's just, you know, they do the hair.
They do it and say go.
And go.
And go. Yeah.
All right.
Makeup is even more. Like anything bridal, just go and hustle.
Times it by 10.
Yeah.
Because I saw there was a convo on Space.
Yeah.
Twitter Space.
Mm.
And they were talking about prices and stuff. And I really woke up that night.
Yeah.
They said hair can be $1,000. I was like, yeah.
They told you minimum was $250. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Minimum, you know.
Yeah.
They said makeup can be $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. Yeah. And they were talking about hauls. They were saying like from $5,000 to $15,000. I was really awake that night.
Yeah.
I was really awake. And then I don't know if you experienced this, but like they were saying about like, photography can also be up to like 2K, 3K. Mm. But then there were a lot of people sharing horror stories how the photographer didn't give them the photos.
Oh,
and the videographer hasn't given them the disc. I don't care. I'm mad. I will get a tent and I'll stay outside your house.
Remember what Aloni did?
Oh, that was amazing. Gosh, she made a hashtag.
That was too funny.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, that situation seemed a bit more complex, you know. But yeah, she's brave. No, seriously, it takes balls to call someone out, you know, because, you know, it can even sometimes taint your own brand.
Mm.
People might think you're like an Alashi jewel. You know, people don't really like troublemakers.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's needed.
Sometimes you have to.
Because some people get away with it. And then when she exposed him, it turned out that he was doing it to a lot of people.
Mm. Oh, right.
But how was the whole process? Because we were just talking about it beforehand.
Yeah.
How was it planning it all? Because you did it by yourself.
I did plan alongside my husband and, you know, his family, my family. So, you know, they love that stuff. Like my mom loves event planning. Like we did her 50th and, you know, that was a whole journey and a half. So that was nice to have like help and stuff. And, you know, my husband, Nigo, he's very thoughtful. So he enjoys things like that and putting it together.
Oh,
especially if you have like a vision and you tell him what you want. Mm-hmm. But it was also nice on my side because I was freelance at the time. So anything that he wasn't able to do, I was a bit more flexible with my time.
Amazing.
So I could, you know, during the day, for example, if when he was at work, I could do some extra bits and bobs. So it really helped.
Okay.
And that's why we didn't get like a wedding planner. But then I do regret not getting a wedding coordinator. So the actual day, that's something to remember to have someone that has the schedule and is making sure everything's kind of running on time, because you don't want to be stressing as a bride, especially me. I'm very naturally quiet. I'm trying to be a power of the words. I'm naturally quite anxious. So you need somebody there outside of yourself and outside of your bridal party to help. Although my friend stepped in on the day, but I remember thinking, oh, and I was looking at someone's page, the bride's helper.
Okay.
I was considering getting her to coordinate on the day, but it just kind of, there's so many things escapes that you forget as you're wedding planning. You can only help others, you know, as it goes on.
That's mad.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's getting married.
Yeah.
Like either getting married or getting engaged. So like last weekend, even this weekend, I just saw weddings. Yeah.
I think it's just the age we're getting to.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Everyone around us is kind of like growing up, having babies, you know, doing
adult things.
Adult things.
Yeah. We ain't 21 no more.
Yeah, or whatever it is that kind of, you know, not everybody wants to get married. I always try to be careful around these conversations and say getting married is an adult thing or whatever. You know, some people are happy, you know, not getting married, not having children. But you know, as society would have it, usually these things happen around this age. Yeah.
How has married life been?
It's good. It's good. It's good. I'm learning to keep it as private as possible. So I won't like go into like I remember one of my, you know, she's a friend, but I consider her a mentor. I don't know whether it's that Nigerian mindset because I, you know, grew up in boarding school, for example. So we have like senior, So anyone that's older than me that I'm friends with, I always end up calling them my mentor. So JC May, she's one that, you know, was like, keep your marriage off social media. You know, she's very like big on it. Like don't, you know, don't do it. I did share, you know, like the wedding planning process.
Yeah, but we still don't know nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like some people, like they will tell you like, and today this is the update you had. I'm like, I don't need to know.
Yeah. Like I shared that part. And again, maybe my Yoruba side as well. My mom's very like, just good news in general. Try and keep it. Like obviously shared like joyful moments. So like I said, I shared the wedding planning process, but try not to let people into something that's meant to be a private union too much, if that makes sense. Just anything that you love and cherish, try and keep it as sacred as possible. But generally, marriage life is good. It's a very beautiful beautiful haven to call home. I would say when it feels like home, you know, it's a very beautiful thing. It will grow you as well. So it's like, it's beautiful, but it's also a journey where you're going to grow. You're going to be challenged. If you think you've healed and you've been to therapy, like I went to counseling pre-marriage, not just for marriage, as an individual counseling, and got over many things from my childhood. But then marriage will bring those things up again.
Oh God.
In terms of a healthy marriage is a mirror. You know, even before I got married, I did a video where I was talking about 5 things I've learned in love so far. And the biggest thing is love is a mirror. Even in the areas that you think you're so perfect in, you know, when you're faced with somebody else who loves you so much and you love them and you want to do right by them, you're going to realize your blind spots. And even if you don't realize them, situations will force them out. That will grow you if you allow it to, because there's people that can be resistant to change. But if you're able to humble yourself and listen to what the other person may be saying or whatever the situation is trying to teach you, you're going to grow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry guys, I have to dash. I know, I've got my friend's surprise birthday.
That's okay.
Brunch. I can say this because by the time this airs, it won't be a surprise anymore. So hi birthday, Tosin.
Oh, bless. Happy birthday.
Imagine
Tosin.
If the surprise don't go through, I'll have to edit this out then. thank you so much, Mo, for coming on. When can people find you?
Mo Chucks on everything. And people always hear that wrong. So I'll say it as an MOCHUNKS. So
what are they hearing?
I don't know. Sometimes people hear different, like chants. I don't know whether it's pronounce it. So Mo, as in chunks, as in tuna chunks, on everything, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter.
Righty, thank you so much.
Thank
again.
You for having me.
Catch us at Black Girls Living on Twitter and Instagram. By the way, guys, our live show tickets are out.
Yes.
If you go on shubs.com, that's S shoobs.com and just search Black Girls Living. It should pop up. I'm Jazz at Jazz_BW on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, sir. I'm at Vic, Vic Sunusi on Instagram, Victoria Sunusi on Twitter. So have a lovely week, guys.